has smiled on me. He's been good to me.
He is the source.
He is the source of all my joy. He fills me with his love. Everything that I should need, he sends it down from above. My God has, oh, he smiled on me. He has set me free. Yes, I know my God has smiled on me. He's been good to me.
A light unto,
a light unto my path is he. Without him I would fall. I don't know what he is to you, but to me he's my all.
Again,
a light unto my path is he. Without him I would fall. I don't know what he is to you, but to me he's my all. I know my God has smiled on me. He has set me free. Yes, I know my God has smiled on me. He's been good to me.
One more time.
I know my God has smiled on me. He has set me free. Yes, I know my God has smiled on me. He's been good.
You may be seated. It is good to be in the house tonight. My. I've waited all week for this. So I'm here now. Yay. So I am so happy to be here. You know, this is the best place to be. And if you chose to be here, you chose to be here. You chose correctly. You know, I was listening to, you know, just one of the Brother Branham servants, and he said, you know, you chose the high road. You chose my way. And no matter how much resistance stands in our way, getting to the house is the biggest priority of my life. It's the biggest function of all of our lives, because this word is the most important. And eating it is the most important. And thank God for having a receiver. Let's sing Heaven's Jubilee, song number 69 in the chorus. Haven't sang that in a while. Amen. Key of F. Amen. Good to be in the house.
Some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air. Come.
coming after you and me. Joy is ours to share.
What rejoicing we will be
when the saints arise. Headed for that jubilee yonder in the sky. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. Seems that now I almost see all the sainted dead rising for that jubilee that is just ahead. In a twinkling of an eye, changed with them to be all the living saints to fly to that jubilee. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the singing in the Holy Ghost, how the heavens will ring. Millions there will join the song, with them we shall be praising Christ through ages long, heaven's jubilee. I said, oh, what singing, oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. Hallelujah. Go ahead, Brother Bond.
I wouldn't normally testify when we have guests coming in, but I had a blessing, and I don't behave very well to begin with, so I had to cancel going to Easter service through Pastor because we had a financial monster just pop out of nowhere. But God makes a way where there is no way. Made that monster disappear.
Come on!
But we had already canceled, so we'd lost a room. Called Brother Dwayne, and guess what? They had one last room, so I don't even have to go camping because we were going to just set up the tent and have a tent meeting and still go to church. But now we got a king-size bed, so that's a blessing too.
Amen.
But it's just it's one of those things that just reminds you that tithing rebukes the devourer. It don't stop the devourer from coming poking his head, but
yeah,
you can rebuke him and give you firm ground to stand on.
Amen.
And that,
beautiful.
And that's an important thing to do. Now, if you're not going to be a cheerful giver, that's not tithing. If you're like, here's your 10%, God don't want that 10%.
Amen.
But, you know, it's better. I've heard it said many times, it's better to have a blessed 90 cents than a cursed dollar.
Amen. You know, like Brother Lockett said, if it ain't done with love, I don't want it. You know, we do it with love. That's what we do this in. Amen. And so let me get these announcements out of the way here. So just be looking forward. March 30th, we're leaving for Easter services. Train leaves at 9 o'clock. And then we've got Men's Fellowship April 27th, Women's Fellowship June 1st. And God bless Brother Covey. He always brings us some kind of tasty morsel every single time he comes. God bless you, brother. It's good to see you. And just... Yeah. Yep, 8:30. Oh, yeah. Yeah, 8:30. 8:45, you're pushing it. So, just know. All right. I'm saying it to myself, too. And just stay tuned to more to come. And let's go ahead and sing 138, come into his house, and then we'll get Brother Covey up. God bless you. Oh, sis. Sorry. Go ahead.
I wanted to get up here.
Amen.
Because God's been so great.
Yes.
It's not just the preaching. It's not just the word that comes from the brothers and sisters. It's not just the word that comes from my husband. It's all of it together. It's being tied to the body. And God has seen me through my last procedure. All that's left,
Amen.
You know, because I have the healer, I have the comforter.
Yep.
My husband was even able to go with me this morning. To go to my procedure, and it was amazing because God was there the whole time. I
Amen.
Met somebody new every single time. I had the same doctor, but I met somebody new, and God has just made a way through everything.
Amen.
He has been such a blessing, a way maker in all aspects of my life.
Yes.
I have a question, and you know, it's been said that anything, any question you have, anything you need to know, will be preached across the pulpit.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? Now, I fancy myself as actually listening to what's preached across the pulpit. But when I get circumstances, and then I reach out, and God tells me the same thing, I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, that was preached. I remember that was preached. Be the example you want to see in others. When you hear something like that, and you're like, oh, yeah, they preached that. Mm-hmm. How did I forget that? But you know what? That's the devil trying to take me away from. God spoke back to me,
yeah.
Reminded me of what he said,
Amen.
Which means I can now repent, and I can now go forward,
yes.
And I can do everything that I need to do,
yes.
And it all works out for his glory.
Amen.
I don't even care if y'all notice me, because I'm here to do what he wants me to do.
That's right.
I want to be that example. I want to be that example,
Amen.
That I want to see in this world.
Amen. Amen.
And I'm working on it every single day.
Amen.
So I'm just blessed to be here, and I'm sticking my stake in, and I'm standing
yes,
on it.
Yes, yes, yes. God bless you, Sister Sandra. Kia G. Oh, 138. We
have come into his house, gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into his house, gathered in his name to worship him.
Forget about ourselves.
Let's forget about ourselves. Concentrate on him and worship him. Let's forget about ourselves.
and concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about ourselves and concentrate on Him and worship Christ. His name and worship Him. Let us lift up holy hands, magnify His name and worship Him. Let us lift up holy hands and magnify His name and worship Christ our Lord. Let us worship Him, Jesus Christ our Lord. He is all my righteousness. He's all I need. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in Him and worship Him. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in Him and worship Him.
I'm a child of the King. His roar, oh blood, now flows through my veins. And I, who was wretched and blind, now can see. Think about it. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm a child of the King. His royal blood, don't it, now flows through my veins. And I, who was wretched and blind, now can see. Oh, praise God, praise God. I'm a child of the King. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm a child of the King. wretched and blind now can see. Don't it feel good that that's not a lie, that you are a child of the King? That royal blood, boy, it flows through your veins. That's what makes you who you are. You know, blood is life. And if that blood, it's royal and it flows through your vein, wow, who are you related to if it's royal? Woo, my, I tell you. Y'all may be seated if you like. And, boy, I tell you, God's just been nothing but good to us in this day. You know, wouldn't it be rough being blindfolded and have to walk through this world, especially spiritually in this day? But God takes off the blindfold, and he turns on the light, and he's like, he's better than halogens, man, or whatever the bright lights are now. I mean, we can see, and thank God that we can see that. Maybe I'll just give you a couple updates and maybe just a little testifying just for a few minutes of some things I've seen God do, and some of the major things that God fights his bride with, or that the devil fights the bride with, some of the major things God just keeps knocking down and defeating, and it's only because we believe that he can do it, and because we're a child of the King, that the King will answer our prayers. And I do, I've said this before, I don't believe God can answer prayer unless you pray him. You got to ask to receive. No, I don't know what the last update I gave you on Brother Ron Spencer, but the last thing I think I said here was they had found cancer in both of his eyes. And they just, you know, just scary. I don't care how much of God you got, you're still got that part of humanity. And so I saw a memory come up on my Facebook. It was over 4 years ago that he had got this cancer, and they had found it all over him, you know, and everywhere. And then they started looking into his lungs, the cancer, and because he had been in a fire, somehow his lungs had, I don't know what happened, but the cancer can't get into his lungs. So then here's this eye cancer, both eyes. And so him and his wife, Connie, they went to the doctors, and they were sitting in there. They ended up in, I think it's like an elevator, and they were in this elevator, and this woman, maybe it's the waiting room, this woman, she had a patch on one eye, and he started to ask her what was going on, and she said, well, I had cancer in this eye, and they had to remove this eye to save the other eye. And so, boy, you talk about discouragement. He has it in both. So now your mind and the natural is going the other way. And, you know, they had looked at him and looked at him, and finally he had to go back in, and they had a specialist, eye specialist, coming in to look at him to see what they had to do with the cancer. Both eyes, there's two spots in the same spot in both eyes. And so very rare. And so the doctor started looking at him, and he said, what seems to be the problem here? You know, you remember saints are praying all over the world. They had already diagnosed him with the cancer in both eyes. It's there. And he said, yeah, you have, I don't know what's going on there. Maybe it's some kind of degeneration or something. He goes, but you don't have cancer in either eye. He said, everything's fine. Come back and see me in 6 months, you know? So, wow. Not only did he heal one eye, he healed both. And yet, I've seen him down preaching. I've seen him several months back, and he just kind of goes into just sometimes preaching. He'll just kind of, his body shuts down. He just stops and stares, and but he comes back. But these last couple months I've been hearing him preach, it's like he don't even have cancer. Even though the doctors can see it all through him for 4 years, it's still like he's preaching harder and harder. He's actually running around the pulpit there on the 24th. That's just last week. I was like, oh, my gosh. You know, sometimes I feel like, oh, God, I can't move. And I see a guy like that with stage 4 cancer all over. And I, you know, this is something you say things over and over, and you say it the same way sometimes. And the other day I was talking about Brother Ron Spencer. I said, I know this preacher that's been fighting cancer, And all at once, the Holy Ghost came down and just kind of shook me and said, "That's not right. You say it like this." And I said, "I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say it that way. He's not fighting cancer. Cancer's fighting him. And he's got somebody on his side that's winning." And oh, I was just like, thanking God, you know. And I'll tell you something just maybe off the cuff that I heard him preach, and he was saying, he said, "You know what?" He's a little statured fella, and he said, "I got on an airplane. It was just whatever he called it, like regular class, you know. Coach. And so anyway, he said, I'm sitting there, and there was a seat open next to me. And he said, there was this young girl came in and sat down next to me and didn't say hi, didn't talk to him or anything. But she sat there, and she kind of just went to sleep. And through the whole flight, never hello, goodbye, nothing. And he just thought, okay. But you know what? She didn't know who she was sitting next to, you know. And so anyway, the plane lands, and all at once, they open the doors. And he said the red carpet came out. And he said right to her seat. And she got out of that red carpet, went out of that airplane, and I guess went to – and he found out later that it was Taylor Swift and that – that she was going to some awards that night. And I'm sitting there thinking, I would have much rather, instead of being at awards, sit there next to Ron Spencer and heard something from heaven. But isn't it good that God's opened our eyes to these preachers that just fluently speak this word, you know? I tell you, no, God is good. Just a couple more testimonies. It just things that whenever I see God really move, they're at the church up there in Bluffton. We've been having some Amish coming. And years ago, we had a lot of Mennonites come. Uh-huh. And boy, did they split the Mennonite church up. And we got a lot of Mennonites. They're not Mennonites no more. Right. But boy, they're just a real productive part of our church. So now we got the Amish community coming in. And they got the beards with the no mustache and then the, the style and everything. Yeah. And no electricity in their houses, you know. And so they've started coming. And now they're hearing the lights turning on for them. Amen. Now the Amish community's not liking it. They're starting to shun them and like, this ain't good. So they was testifying the other day that they were all gathered in their living room or a room in one of their houses. They was talking about this message and the things of God. And no electric in the house. And he said a light came in that room and lit the whole room up. And he said everybody in that room, there's about seven or eight of them, could see that light, that pillar of fire that was over William Branham. You know, they could just see that light lighted up. And so now they're seeing signs and wondering, thinking, man, we better start following these supernatural signs, these worldly signs that ain't getting us nowhere. Hey, our Amish religion, it won't even give us lights, you know, but yet this message will turn on a light. And wow, I mean, I was just amazed. No, it's 100 miles to go to church for me and my brother, mom and dad. And some mornings it's rough, you know, and I was talking to them Amish and I said, "So how long of a drive is it? Where do you live?" And they said, "Oh, 7.5 hours." And I'm like, 7.5 hours. But when they see a light turn on, it don't matter if it's 10 hours. They're coming, you know? And so I was talking to him. I was like, wow. And then I'm thinking, what is wrong with me? 100 miles, you know, in a Cadillac or a whatever I want to drive? I mean, my. It's like, God, help me, you know, to just see how blessed that I really am. There was a woman a few weeks back, a couple weeks ago, and it come across the pulpit to pray. And she had a very rare cancer and very just rough. But they couldn't determine with the testing what rare cancer it was. It was out of two rare cancers. And they couldn't figure it out. So the church is praying, people's praying all around the world. She went back to the doctors, and they're hoping they could find out what type it was to where they could, you know, help her if they could. She goes back in there, and remember, the man that turns on the light, he can see what's wrong, and he can heal you. Amen. Them doctors couldn't find nothing. They said, wow, this is rare. There's nothing there. You know, that's the rare part of it. But God totally was on the scene.
Amen.
And then there's Brother Andy Thompson. I've known him for about 40 years. He stayed in my home. He used to be kind of a hefty guy, maybe 280 pound. Nicest guy you'd meet was a deacon for a long time. And he got very, very sick for like the last 3 years, got down about 90 pounds. And I mean, he was ready to die. And the doctors may give up, but if God don't give up.
Amen.
And you know, they tested him. I think it's been about 3 weeks now ago. They can't find nothing Amen. Wrong with that man. Now his wife and three daughters and grandbabies, they got grandpa and dad and husband.
Right.
You know, just not Amen. For the grace of God.
Yes.
No, we're not talking God gave me lunch today. We're talking some major things here. And then here come the Amish back. All right. No, about three or four of them get baptized last Sunday. And I'm sitting there. My mom and dad, we sit on the same pew. And that preaching of the word was so strong, like it always is. And my mother, she's got the skin cancer on her hand. And it's got so big that the doctors can't just burn it off. They have to surgically remove it. And it's right over a big vein on her hand. And, you know, she's an older woman and real thin skin. And it was scaring her. It was making her nervous, you know. And so we're sitting there in church and that preaching of the word's just going. So church was over. We went to the other side of the building for the baptismals. And we watched these four or five Amish people get baptized. And I'm sitting in a chair right next to my mother. And all at once, she felt something a little weird. And she looked down at her hand where that cancer was. And it was starting to peel up around the perimeter of it, coming loose from her hand. And she reaches down to touch it. Whoo! And it fell off in her hand. And so she gave a testimony and wrote it in the, they read it Sunday, this past Sunday, and she said in that, she goes, no, I know it's just something small, and I still feel like saying it, you know, and told that story I just told you, and the preacher gets up, and he said, why, here we got cancers falling off in the service, and think, boy, I'd sure like to hear a lot of these small testimonies, you know, but God is good. He don't let you down.
Amen.
He's always there, always. Just like the
That's
footprints
right.
in the sand. It was, why did you leave me, Lord? Well, those were my footprints
Amen.
There. It was then I was carrying you through your battles and your troubles.
Right.
Boy, I tell you what, don't matter how heavy you are,
know,
boy, he can
right.
still pick
Amen.
You up and carry you. You know, God is so, so good.
Amen.
But anyway,
Amen.
Yeah, life is worth the living just because. He didn't die. He's alive and well, and he's living. You can't do nothing if you're dead. But alive, you can do a lot. But I appreciate you being patient with me and just hearing those things, because you know, faith comes from hearing the word of God. And boy, if us brothers and sisters can't get together and say, look, this just wasn't a little natural thing that happens to everybody. This is something that heaven came down.
Yeah.
And touch this earth,
Amen.
You know? Boy, God's so good. Real treat for you tonight. Real treat for you tonight. We have a young preacher that was really young the last time he came here. And he was just a young newlywed. He still got the smile on his face back there. And but I knew his grandpa. And he's on my age. But he comes from what Brother Branham say, good stock. He comes from good stock. And he not only believes this word, he lives it. It's a lifestyle. It's something that he can't help because it's just in him to live. And his wife came with him the last time, and she always carried a guitar wherever she went because she's just a good singer, and she sings from just her heart and from the faith that she has in God. But now she set the guitar down, and she's carrying a baby. You know, and he's a handsome little
Amen.
Fella, but she said she would come up and sing a song for us. Would you like that? That would be good. And her name is Sister Bethany, and she is Brother Wayne Lawson's daughter. She's the pastor's daughter of our church. And she comes from the hills, but boy, I tell you, it's really good. But aren't you glad to see talent that comes from God and not from Taylor Swift and from the things of the world? Oh, yeah, the things of the world will grow strangely dim. Strangely dim in the light of the word. Can one of you brothers get a microphone stand up here? And can she borrow this guitar right here? Yeah. I told her it'd probably be in pretty decent tune. Yes. Right. Is this mic right here on? Okay.
If you know this one, you can just sing it with me. There's a light in the window, a table spread in splendor, and someone standing by the open door. And I can see the crystal river. Lord, I must be home forever. Oh, I've never been this homesick before. Oh, see the bright light shine. It's just about home time. And I can see my Father standing at the door. This world's been a wilderness. Lord, I'm ready for deliverance. Oh, Lord, I've never been this homesick before. Oh, I can see the family gathering, and their faces are familiar. But no one's old or feeble anymore. And Lord, my lonesome heart is crying. I think I'll spread my wings for flying. Oh, I've never been this homesick before. Oh, see the bright light shine. It's just about home time. Lord, I can see my Father standing at the door. This world's been a wilderness. Lord, I'm ready for deliverance. Oh, and I've never been this homesick before. Oh, now I can see my family gathering, and their faces are familiar. But no one's old or feeble anymore. Oh, Lord, my lonesome heart is crying. I think I'll spread my wings for flying. Oh, I've never been this homesick before. Oh, see the bright light shine. It's just about home time. And I can see my Father standing at the door. This world's but a wilderness. Lord, I'm ready for deliverance. Oh, Lord, I've never been this homesick before. This world's been a wilderness. Lord, I'm ready for deliverance. Oh, and I've never been this homesick before.
Thank you, sis, for that. What a blessing. Yes. Well, I tell you what. Are you ready for the Word of God?
Amen.
Now, what He's done for others, He can do for you. It's no secret. No secret at all. To us, it's not a secret. To the world, it is, or they'd be here. You know, like my mother being healed, that cancer dropping off of her.
Yeah.
Just sitting under the Word of God. Now, tonight, guess where you're sitting? You're sitting under the Word of God.
Amen.
And it'll lead and guide you into the truth,
right,
which I think it already has.
Amen.
And that truth is that all things are possible.
Yeah.
Only believe. Yeah. All things are possible. Well, I tell you what. I tell you what. Let me think of... You ready to fly out of here one day? Some glad morning when this life is over. All right, let's all stand tonight. Stand to your feet. The preacher, he's holding that baby back there, but he'll be ready here in just a few minutes. But I think we got time enough to rejoice for a minute. Some sad morning? Oh, it's glad morning. Oh, really? Oh, I think maybe they're singing that in the other place down there. Oh, some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away. Oh, to a home on God's celestial shore.
That's your goal. That's our goal, to get out of here, to make a rapture. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. We definitely appreciate the opportunity to be here again. Just been a little bit of time, but we appreciate Brother Nate and Brother Eric and all that they do here for this assembly, and just appreciate being a part of it. Amen. So we'll go straight to the Word tonight. If you have your Bibles, we'll turn over to John 8, first of all, and then we'll read a couple texts, and then we'll be seated after that. Amen. Sure appreciate, as Brother Eric said, having my wife and baby with me. little Spencer Warren, named after Brother Ron Spencer, actually, that he told about. So he's really been a hero in our lives. He helped dedicate the baby, helped ordain me into the ministry, and married us as well. So just been a real special part of our lives. Amen. John 8, starting in verse 32, says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus saith unto him, If you were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man which hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. And Jesus saith unto them, If God would your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? And it said, Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And one more quick text before we're seated out of Matthew 7. If you don't want to turn there, that's fine. Just a few verses starting in 24, very familiar passage. It says, Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. If we could just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this day you've given us. Father, we thank you for this opportunity once again to be in the house of God. As our brother said at the beginning, Lord, how we've just been waiting all week for this, Lord, just to come into your presence. Lord, we're thankful, though, that we don't only have to come to the house of God to feel your presence, but you said that you would be with us, even in us, Father. And Lord, when we go about our work and we go about our day, Father, we know that you're with us, Lord, and you make yourself known in our midst. And Lord, we hear you speak to us through your word. And Father, we just recognize that you're leading us and guiding us. And Father, you've so saw it fit to have us gather together once more tonight. And Lord, we want to take advantage of this opportunity, Father, just to gather around your word and pray, Lord, that you speak something to our hearts. Knowing, Lord, that we're insufficient to speak anything of our own abilities, but Lord, if you could just take control, Father, then Lord, that would make all the difference. So we just commit this service into your hands for your glory and honor. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have your seats. Amen. Is this mine? Both of them. All right. We can go for a while. We'd like to take a thought tonight out of that scripture on overcoming the father of lies. Amen. We know that Satan is a liar. Amen. I think we can all have common ground that Satan is a liar and the father of lies. And he is also a murderer. As we read in John 8, it said he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. And when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. And we've seen how Satan's been a murderer all throughout the Bible, right? There's a false vine and a true vine, and those trail all the way through the Bible, Cain and Abel and Jacob and Esau, and how Cain could murder Abel, and that false vine would constantly persecute that true vine, and even religious persecution. But it's not just murdering in the natural, but Satan is a murderer with his false doctrines. And Brother Branham even talks about that Trinity doctrine has come in and destroyed the multitudes, and it will destroy until Jesus comes. Why? Because it doesn't belong in this word. It's a hybrid word, and it's tore apart churches. It's tore apart lives and families because it's a deception. Amen. Satan is a deceiver. Can we all agree on that? Amen. We have a common enemy tonight, don't we? He's a deceiver. And the definition of a lie is to make an untrue statement forgive my cough a little bit, with intent to deceive. And so when Satan makes a statement, it's got the intent to deceive. And we shouldn't be surprised by this, because it's been prophesied in the last day that there would be false Christ and false prophets that would show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And so we see that Satan, sometimes he puts on his church clothes and comes in and sets down in the pew, because that's how he is. He's a deceiver. It's not always just way out in the open, but he likes to just do little deceptive things and come in the form of a religious spirit, which we know is the worst kind of spirit that there could be. And Brother Branham said that. If it's okay, I may quote Brother Branham a lot tonight, but that's just all I know how to do. I just believe the message. And so he said, the people, he's talking about this John 8, he said, the people that would not lie, would not steal, would not commit adultery, righteous men, preachers and priests, he said, you are of your father the devil, because they believe not on the Son of God. He that believeth not is condemned already. So it wasn't about the Pharisees. Brother Branham would even teach us that the evidence of the Holy Ghost is to receive the word for your day. And it's not so much even just to dress the part, or sometimes even in the world, they think that speaking in tongues is the evidence. And though we certainly believe in that, you could do it and not have the Holy Ghost. But he said, here that they did all these things, they had the fruits of the Spirit, but they would not receive the word when it came into their midst. And he said, you're of your father the devil. Amen. It's a religious spirit. But except a man be born again, how could he see the kingdom of God? How could he understand it? How could he catch the revelation of this word and realize what it meant, realize what God was unfolding in our age? Amen. But it takes a birth, for there's a church spirit and there's God's spirit. And you can come and you can go through all the motions, and you could even come down to the altar, and we believe in it, and God can meet you there and transform your life in a moment. And we just had a brother at the church, Brother Eric, he last Sunday, I believe, he came and gave the testimony the next Thursday that God filled him with the Holy Ghost that Sunday. And brother, he said it was, I think he said, an overnight success case. He's a completely different person because he met the living God. But if you just go through the motions, you can go and go through all the motions and go back and just be the same person you always were and be so full of hate and so full of anger and so full of temper. And all you got was a church spirit. But that's a good place to start. But you got to go a little farther and come into his spirit. Come into the spirit of Christ that'll change you and transform you into a new creature in Christ Jesus. Oh, it'll make you different. Amen. For Brother Branham said that the Holy Ghost that fell on the day of Pentecost makes you different. You say, well, I got the Holy Spirit and still living the same way you do. Something's happened to you. He said, you never got the Holy Spirit that came on the day of Pentecost because it made you different. And he said, you don't believe in speaking in tongues and divine healing in these things. He said, then you never got the Holy Ghost that fell on the day of Pentecost, because that Holy Ghost, brother, it's the life of Christ on the inside of you, and it'll make you different. It won't allow you to blend in with the world or the things of the world, but it'll teach you to dress right. It'll teach you to live right. It'll teach you to speak right, because it's an inside teacher, and that Holy Ghost is the Word, and this is the Word right here. And so if you have the Word inside of you, how could it not amen every word in this Bible? But the Word connects with Word, and you say amen to every word, amen to every letter of this Bible. Oh, it'll teach you to dress right. It'll teach you to dress like a lady and man. It'll teach you to dress like men. It'll put a standard in your life to say, Lord, let me live like this word. If Paul taught it, Lord, let it come and manifest out of my life. And when God plants that seed in your life, brother, you just got to drink and push out, because if it's in there, it'll manifest itself. And if you receive the life of Christ, it'll manifest the life of Christ. Amen. If you receive the spirit of Beethoven, won't you act like Beethoven? If you receive the spirit of John Dillinger, won't you act like he did? But if you receive the spirit of Christ, won't it push out all the form, all the religion, all the fake and the put on? Won't it clean up your face and clean up your life and make you a son of God or a daughter of God? Oh, you try to fit in. He said, the woman go downtown here and they can't hardly buy a dress unless it's so like they was poured into it. He said, this is my own church. I have a right to preach what the Holy Spirit tells me to do, right? He said, I'm not criticizing you, but don't the Holy Spirit teach you different? That's why we need a guide. because he said, I'd send you the spirit of truth and it'll lead you into all truth. We couldn't figure it out. There's so many different ideas, Brother Eric, around this world. How many different denominations are there? But God has made a way that he would send a spirit of truth that would lead you into truth and guide you into truth and teach you every bit of this word from the inside. Amen. And you'll be in agreement. It won't just be because it's got to be from the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And if even a lie detector, it don't go off of your mind, but it goes off of your inner being. And so you might have it all figured out in your head, but if that inner being isn't pulsating with this word, then it'll pick it up. But there's got to be a harmony between this word and your mind and your heart, that when this word strikes your mind, brother, it's got a place to drop. Amen. And we'll get into that. But Satan is a liar. How do you know he's lying? His lips are moving. Amen. And we can prove that by the scripture, because we read it in John 8. There's no truth in him. But then in Titus it said, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if Satan cannot speak truth because there's no truth in him, here is Almighty God. And he said, in him is truth. He is the truth. He cannot lie. So, brother, when God speaks, that's the amen. That settles it. When God speaks, that's the answer. And why would we look for another voice when God has spoken in this generation and given us a clear answer? Brother, you can stop right there and put down your stake and say, that's enough for me and my family. If God spoke it, that settles it, and I believe it, and it's nothing but the truth. And let that harmony begin to come between you and the word that says amen to every word. Amen. When God speaks, it's forever, and opposition means nothing when God speaks. Oh, because God could speak to Moses and say, go down to Egypt and take over. And when it came from God, brother, he could go down there by himself with a stick in his hand on that old little mule and ride down and take over with a one-man invasion, because God had already spoken it. And when God speaks, that settles it. His word will not return void. And if he's spoken something over your life, brother, you can drive down a stake and rest on it, because every word of God must come to pass. And if it can fall in the good ground, in the right ground, it'll manifest itself. So let's be good ground for the word of God. We won't argue with any word. If it lays in this Bible, I'll say amen to it. If it's contrary to my thinking, I'll say amen to it. Come out of the denominational system. Come out from among her and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Oh, you've got to come out from every other opinion, every other thought than this word. How can two walk together except they be agreed? And if this word is contrary to my thinking, I can't walk with my thinking any longer. And if the word says I'm healed, brother, and the devil says you're not healed, what are you going to walk with? Choose ye this day who you will serve. Will you serve the lie of the devil, or will you serve the word of God, which cannot lie? He's God and he cannot lie. So whatever it says, you just got to, you can separate right now. Even as that devil try to get you to go one way, and that word says something different, you got to make a choice. Which way are you going to go? Will you, like Moses, will you esteem the reproach of this word greater than the treasures of Egypt? There's a lot of treasure out in this world, but it means nothing to us. It's fleeting. It has an end. It's only a season of pleasure. But if you take sides with this word, brother, it's an eternal stand. It's a kingdom which cannot be moved. Amen. But you got to make the choice. He said, God's word will be worth more in the next few minutes than all the words that I could say. And if you can identify who's talking to you, you can prevail. A lie is a truth mistold. Everything Satan has is perverted. So you can have a word, and then when Satan takes that word and speaks it, it's not going to come out the same. It's going to be a perversion. Amen. And just as he'll take a righteous act and pervert it, he'll take all these true things of God and pervert them. And so he does with the truth. But what's going to control you? If you have a couple friends, and you know one of them is prone to be a little bit exaggerative, maybe you were both fishing And when he tells the story, the fish is a lot bigger. And because maybe there's a tendency there to add a little bit to the story. And with fishing, maybe that's all right. But when it comes to the word, we want what's going to be true. And so who are you going to consult when you have a question about what's right and what's wrong? And David one time was trying to do God a service. He was trying to return the ark back to the rightful place. He was trying to do God a service, which was wonderful. But if you're familiar with what Brother Branham preached, he preached trying to do God a service without being in the will of God. And here David tried to do God a service, but he consulted captains of hundreds and thousands. And when he tried to do it in his own self and through that channel, they lost the life of a man, and it went very badly. And Brother Brandon would elaborate on this and say, there was Nathan standing right there in their midst, a vindicated prophet, but they never even consulted him. Amen. There he was, and that was God's channel. That was God's avenue, because he told us in Amos 3:7 that surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Amen. So he consulted. So if you have a natural friend that you know is always going to tell a little bit different, why would you consult them if you want to know the truth? And if you want to know the truth about this word, shouldn't you consult the channel that God chose to use? Shouldn't you consult a vindicated prophet who came in this hour and preached the word, revealed the mysteries, and tied the loose ends together? It's more than a man, but that spirit of truth has come in our generation and tied the loose ends of this Bible together. And it's more than a mystery, brother. We have the answer. We have the absolute. We have the amen. I mean, because it's God's channel. It's not just another opinion. You can consult an answer that you can rest on and know it's the truth. And it should be easy, we would think, to believe an infallible word, because this word is infallible. And he said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And if we could ever get that settled in our minds, brother, there would come a rest. That when God says you're healed, you're healed. When God says you're delivered, you're delivered. When God says repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, it's an answer, brother. When God speaks it, that settles it. And if you could get that settled in your mind, then even while I'm preaching tonight, there could come a healing to your body, because you realize that it's already finished on Calvary. It's already settled on the cross. Amen. We're approaching Good Friday. That's more than just a day. That's a mean something to the believer, that it is finished. That blood was shed for our sins. That blood was shed for your healing. That blood was shed that you might go free. And the truth sets you free. The truth that blood is still available. Amen. He's still, as long as he's still there on that mercy seat, we have a right to claim those promises. Amen. Maybe you have a child that's lost tonight. You have a right to take God at his word, and you can dismiss every other thought and take that word, because it's an infallible word. And healing becomes simple, because when God speaks, he can't make a mistake. When God speaks, it's settled. And every spoken creative thought in the right ground will be manifested. He won't take any word back for a mistake. And that means something to me, because if I can ever recognize that I'm one of his thoughts, that I came from the back part of his mind, then he can never take me back for a mistake. He can never throw me away. His word will not return void. And it's not just the letter, but there is words. He's got attributes. He's got sons and daughters of God that came from him. And because he put his spirit in my life, I recognize that there was something in there that was always a part of God. Amen. And so I will not return void. I will not perish in the struggles and the hardships of life, but I will remain, because it's not my ability, but there's an anchor in my soul. I met the living God, and it's changed me. Amen. And you can meet him if you haven't met him. It'll change you. It'll bring your life into line with this word. It'll cut out every other thing. It'll give you a courage to stand. Amen. It won't return void. Amen. So why is it a battle? If it's an infallible word, then why is it a battle? Why do you war so much in your mind? Why is it not so easy just to take the word and just say, okay, that's good enough for me? It should be, but Satan has got involved, and he's a deceiver, and he's come, and he's chose to battle your mind. It's the greatest battle ever fought, actually. And he's chose your mind as the battleground to fight. And so you got all these voices going on, and some of them are so close to the truth that it becomes a real battle, because you got to know, which one is the right one. But we can come back to the word. I mean, in the Old Testament, they had a Urim Thummim that could be something that they could judge against. And if it would flash, and I don't, this is not in my notes, so, but if it would flash, it would show that it was a true. And we don't have that today, but we have a word. We have something you can take and compare it against. And brother, if it doesn't flash, then you better get rid of it, because it's not true. But if you can take your dresswear, if you can take your life, if you can take the doctrines of this word and line them up with this Bible, and it flashes, then brother, you can settle your life on it. You can settle your family on it. Oh, for it's the truth. It's something that you can judge yourself against. Amen. If you judge yourself against the church, then you'll find a different measuring line every week. But you've got to come back to a solid foundation and build your life upon a solid word. Oh, come back to a foundation and build yourself up. Lord, let me dress right. Let me live right. Let me do right. Let me speak right. Let me think right. Lord, and let me be built into the image of God. It's the greatest battle ever fought. It's fought in the mind, where decisions are made. And choose ye this day who you will serve. Choices are made every day. And Brother Branham said, Satan began at the principal part to cause the spirit of man to doubt God's word. And God began at the principal part to lay his word in that spirit. And I believe that's happening even during this service. There's a warfare going on, and Satan's laying in his lie, and God's laying in his truth. But choose ye this day, what will you give place to? Paul taught us in Ephesians, neither give place to the devil. And so you don't have to give a place to it. You maybe can't keep that from flying over. You can't keep that bird from flying over, but you don't have to give a place to it. You don't have to let it build a nest in your mind. Amen. But choose the word. And it's a greater riches. For you have five, you have your imagination, you have your conscience, you have your memory, you have your affections. And Brother Bram say those things are all right if they agree with the word, but if they don't agree with the word, then lay them aside, cast them down. Paul taught us, so whatsoever things are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report, if there be any virtue and any praise, think on these things. I mean, keep your thoughts positive. Keep your mind on this word. Let it be a constant. Lord, I'm thinking on your promises. I'm thinking on your word. And you go about thinking, Lord, by your stripes I'm healed. Amen. Brother Branham told the testimony of John Ryan, and with his natural eyes he couldn't even see, but he got a hold of the promise, and he just began to confess it. Oh, I'm healed. Extra, read all about it. You know the story, I'm sure. Read all about it. By his stripes I am healed. Extra, read all about it. And he just began to think on these things, the things of God. And one day his eyes became open as he just began to hold on to that promise, because he didn't even have a natural sight, but he could understand by the sight of faith and realize it was a finished work. Amen. And you got to cast down every other thing. Paul said, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I don't know about you, but I want to know what the knowledge of God about me is, because Satan tells me a lot of things about myself, and you wonder, and sometimes they weigh on your mind. But if it's against the knowledge of God, then you have a right to cast it down. What God speaks about you in this word is greater than what the devil has spoken over your life. And he's maybe spoken a lot of things over your life, that you're never going to make it, that your family's just going to be torn apart, and you're never going to amount to anything. But come back to this word, and come back to the position of a son or daughter of God, that what God thinks about me is true, what he knows about me, what he thinks about me. Amen. But you got to realize who you are in the scripture. You got to come back and say, Lord, identify me in your word. Who am I? Is my life lining up? Am I living like you said I should? Am I reflecting you like you said I should? Oh, is it coming forth out of me like you said it should? Amen. Have you ever lay your life over that word? Say, Lord, let me match this word. Don't cut this word to fit me. Don't take out of this word to fit me, but cut me to fit this word. Cut these habits out of my life to fit this word. I'm not going to walk around this word to soften it for somebody's life, but preach the word and let it cut you until you match this word. Let it cut those things out of your life, those habits, those things that plague your mind, those addictions that plague your life, but let this word come in the power of the Holy Ghost and cut it out of you. I still believe in a God that's got power to change a life, that's got power to change you in a moment and take habits out of your life. I mean, even our pastor back home, how God, if you've never heard his testimony, it's powerful. Tobacco, things that just left in an instant. Oh, but the power of God is real, friends. And we don't need 10 steps to a better life. Come back to the plumb line. Come back to the fire of God that can clean you out. Oh, it'll make you grow out your hair. It'll make you dress right. It'll make you manifest Jesus Christ again on earth. It's more than just a religion, friends. It's a reality. God that walked 2,000 years ago upon this earth, he's here in flesh again. But it's in a bride. It's in a people that are willing to forsake everything and live this message. Are you willing to stand for it? Having done all to stand, you're going to stand for something. You might as well stand for this word. You might as well stand for something that's eternal. You might as well stand for something that's not going to fall. You can stand for a religion all you want, but brother, it's got no foundation. It's going to come crashing down. But on this rock, I build my faith. On this revelation, I build my family. Brother, and we're stabilized. We're stabilized on a solid rock. Brother Brandon was in South Africa one time, and there was 30,000 at least in the crowd, because 30,000 raw heathens were there, and so there was at least 30,000, and a miracle took place. I believe it was a little bit of a spastic child who was acting like a dog. He was under a spirit. I believe that's how it was. I can find it if you're wondering. But there was a deliverance took place. And in that moment, the power of God came in, and Brother Brandon would say, speaking of salvation, I believe it was, he said, I do not mean physical healing. I mean that you accept. You'll renounce all other gods, and you'll receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Throw your trinkets on the ground and bust your idols. He said it was like a storm of dust where the power of God struck the place, and 30,000 or more heathens come to the Lord Jesus Christ at one time. Why? And Paul taught us, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? And aren't you the temple of God, you which are sons and daughters of God? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? And so you may not have a natural idol in your hand, but Brother Brandon would say, anything between you and God is an idol. And you have a right to cast down that idol tonight. Anything that's got between you and God, what agreement hath it with you? It hath no agreement with temples of God. It's an idol, but this temple is reserved for the Word. This temple is reserved for Jesus Christ. And you have a right to cast it down. In Luke, he said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? We read the scripture in Matthew, therefore whosoever heareth these sayings and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rich young ruler, when he came to the Lord had said, if that will be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. When he heard that saying, there was a saying that came that was too hard for him. But the wise man will hear these sayings and do them and be like a man that's built upon a rock. And so there's some sayings that are going to be a little bit hard for that rich young ruler. He said, I've done all these things for my youth, all of these acts, all of these commandments I've kept. But when it came to a place of selling all that he had, it was a saying that he wasn't willing to do. But when God speaks something in his word, it must be for a reason. He's made preparations for us that we might be right, that we might be found righteous before him. And so as sons and daughters of God, we want to be like the wise man who built his house upon the rock, who kept the sayings of God, not who like the rich young ruler who didn't keep the saying because it was too hard. But the Christian life isn't a flowery bed of ease, brother and sister. It's a walk. It's actually a battleground. At least for me it is. I don't know about for you. But every day it's a fight, and it will be until we get out of here. But it's a battleground where you have to make decisions, and some of them might be tough. But when you see it in his word, don't turn a blind eye to it. Say, Lord, it may not be easy, but I know it's true. So let your word correct me and change me, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Brother Branham said, you'll either be a truth-rejecting prisoner, or you'll know the truth and go free. So don't reject the truth, but receive it, and let it transform you into the image of God, that you might be free. I mean, I don't know about you, but I want to be free. And if you're living under that bondage of a halfway life, then you're not free the way God's intended you to be. But come in all the way. Step into the water, brother and sister, and let the reality of God. You see, if you're just living a halfway life, Brother Brandon would even say that's the most miserable place. I'm just paraphrasing, about the most miserable place you can be. It's just a halfway Christian, just halfway in, because you know what, you know better, but there's nothing in you to keep you in the right. And so you're constantly in this battle. You're constantly torn up and down and in and out, and you find it so hard to live it because you're trying to do it without God on the inside. But if you yield yourself over to God as an instrument of righteousness, I mean, you'll yield yourself one way or the other. Instruments of righteousness or unrighteousness. So put yourself in the hands of God as an instrument of righteousness, and let him take a hold of your life. Oh, and put his spirit in you. By one spirit, you're baptized into one body. 1 Corinthians 12:13. By the power of the Holy Ghost, it puts you in this body. Oh, and then he's with you, brother. He's in the ship with you. When you come up to a hard trial, he's with you. When you come up against a tough time, he's with you. You may lose your children in an accident, but brother, there's a keeping power that'll hold you through it. Oh, like it kept Brother Brandon when he lost his wife and baby. Oh, and Satan come in and try to tempt him. And if there would have been nothing there, maybe he could have walked away, but he couldn't walk away because there was a keeping power. There was something holding his life that he could say, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, so I'll stick with that. Oh, it was there. It was there. There was something that was there. And he didn't find it in religion. He found it in the Lord. He found it in the Word, the living Word. Come out from among it. Let God's Word be true. And every man's word a lie. Don't stop for anything. Don't stop. That was what Eve's problem was. She stopped. Brother Branham tells about Nellie Sanders, who God had done a work in her life, but she had been used to dancing. And she walked by that dance hall one day after God had dealt with her. And she stopped just to listen to that music. And that's where she made her mistake, was because she stopped. And she, next thing she knew, she was in the arms of that man dancing again. And she come to Brother Brandon and all tore apart because of it. But she stopped. And you're on the devil's playground right there. So don't stop when you have the message. Don't stop to reason. Don't stop to wonder. Don't stop to look for a second opinion. Oh, but drive down your stake and just move forward with the word. Oh, don't drive down your stake so far that you can't move with the word, but you're camping with the Lord. You're following the pillar of fire to the homeland. You may drive down your stake one day, but then the next day you're moving to the next spot. You're moving with the Lord like the children of Israel, going onward and onward till you reach the goal. Don't stop for nothing. Don't stop to complain. Don't stop to look back to the garlic of Egypt, of what you used to have out in the world. Don't stop about looking back to what you used to have, what you could have. If you just went out in the world and served the devil, your life could be so much more. That's a lie of the devil. But God's calling is higher than that, calling you to a place where you can have more joy than you ever had out in the world. Oh, brother, this word does more for me than the world ever did, than any ball game ever did. This word brings more joy in my heart. It brings more peace to my heart. Oh, than the world could ever do. Amen. And I'm just 24. Amen. I'm just a young man. And I can say that it's been real. It's held me. It's brought a reality to my life. And I don't hunger for those things of the world. I hunger after God and His Word. Don't stop for a moment. Joshua, don't turn to the right or the left. But he stopped. But we've got a message. Brother Branham preached a message, it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And if you go listen to it, it'd be a good listen. His mother was actually dying in the hospital while he was preaching it. And can you imagine how hard that would be to have your mother in the hospital on the brink of death while you're preaching? But he said, that's my mother. I believe he got a message or he got a note while he was preaching. He said, if she's going, I commit her soul into the hands of God. But here's a message that's got to go on, Lord. It's becoming to us. It's becoming to me now that I fulfill all righteousness. God's word comes first. And then at the end, he goes, Lord, and as your servant, I charge this devil that's pushed at me all morning, that's tried to get me out of this pulpit. By the grace of God, I stayed here for these poor, sick, or suffering mortals of God. Why? Because it's becoming of you. It's becoming of you to stand. It's becoming of you to fulfill what God's called you to do, even if it's difficult. You've got to stand for something. And you can purpose in your heart like Daniel, I will not bow down to the idols. This is the temple of God. It has no agreement with this world or the things of the world. And you can stand for something. But what encourages me is he come back that evening and preached the Comforter. And he said, somehow she rallied up again and began to breathe again. She doesn't know, but he kept her alive while I was preaching and kept her a while. You see, if you stand for the Lord, if you stay in your position, God's able to take care of your family. God's able to take care of your loved ones. God's able to take care of your finances. So if you just stop worrying about it so much and commit it to the Lord, say, Lord, I give it all to you. I forsake all and everything you forsake for this gospel. He's able to repay it back to you a thousandfold. You forsake houses and lands and families, but God has not failed to see that, but he knows what you've given up. If you just forsake all, you won't regret it. He'll take care of you. He can keep your family. Amen. Like Daniel Curry, who had a vision one day of going to heaven, and he got there and he was an evangelist. He said, I've won so many souls to Christ, but he got there and they couldn't find his name on the book. He said, you must be missing something. And he said, no, we have no account for it here. The only thing you can do is go plead it at the white throne. I mean, I'm just paraphrasing. Maybe you know the story. And so he gets there and he hears this voice, you know, Daniel Curry, did you ever lie? And he thought he was a pretty good man, but under that great judgment of God, he said, yeah, I told a few lies. He said, did you ever steal? And he thought he was a pretty good man, but he said, well, yeah, when you really think about it, I had a few shady deals. And he was just waiting for that voice to speak out, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. But there came such a sweet face and such a sweet voice, and it said, Father, no, Daniel Curry wasn't perfect on earth, but on earth Daniel Curry stood for me. Now up here I'll stand for him. You take all of his iniquity and put it on my account, and I'll stand for him here because he stood for me on earth. And brother, that's what I want to be when I get there. I don't have a lot to offer. I've made a lot of mistakes, but there is a blood that was shed on the cross. And if there's anything that I'm going to do, I want to stand for this word. I want to forsake everything else, for I esteem the reproach of it greater riches than what this world has to offer. You may have to stand a reproach when you stay for this word. When you stand on this word and don't waver, there may come a reproach. We read about it. Those Pharisees persecuted Jesus. They were religious, but he was the word. And if you want to stand and be this word for this hour and let God really come into your life, you may not fit in everywhere you go, but this word is true. Amen. What it teaches, it's nothing but the truth. This message that God sent us in this hour, this message that he brought through the man William Branham, it's the truth. And I'm not ashamed to stand for it. Amen. As an American, you're identified with what America is. And if you don't want to be identified, then maybe you should move to another place or I don't know. There's not a lot to be proud of right now, but we're still naturally born as Americans. And although it's sad, you're identified with it because you're a part of it. And if you're going to be a part of this message, don't be ashamed to be identified with everything that it is, every word that it speaks from cover to cover, from book to book. We're not ashamed to be identified with the word for our hour, for that's the only thing that's going to prepare us for a rapture. That's the only thing that's going to clothe us with a word that'll get us out of here. Amen. What Brother Branham taught, he taught what Paul taught, and if an angel come and preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. Oh, but if he preached the same gospel, then rest on it. Oh, you don't have to knock down to the devil. Amen. Yield yourself to God. Amen. But it's not so much just as an open mind to anything that comes, because Satan will come in there real quick and get it and plant all kinds of things in just an open mind. But you come to God in your right mind and say, Lord, what does your word say about it? And the mind is the womb to the spirit. And there's a womb for the natural and a womb for the spiritual. Amen. We can all agree on that, the womb for the natural, but the mind is the womb for the spirit. Amen. And so when spiritual adultery is committed, it comes through the mind, that you first take in a lie of the devil. And that's how Satan gets in, is in your mind. Amen. But that's also how natural adultery, because the Bible says, whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed all adultery already with her in his heart, with her already in his heart. So it's got to come first through the mind, naturally and spiritually. How the church lets in doctrines is because they've let a creed into their mind, or a dogma, or something contrary to this word. They gave it a place in their mind, and then it becomes an act of adultery spiritually or naturally. But the beautiful thing about that, Brother Eric, is that that's also the same way that you can be born again. Amen. Because he that heareth the word and believeth on it shall not go into the judgment, but hath everlasting life. Paraphrasing, but John 5:24. So the first act is in the mind. Amen. And so there's a negative to that, but there's also a positive, that you can take this word and receive it in your mind, and it can begin to circle and cycle in your mind, and then drop down to your heart and become a reality. Amen. Like Mary could hear that prophecy that a virgin shall conceive. And it could circle and circle and circle. But one day it came down and dropped into her heart. She could say, be it unto me according to your word. You just agree with that word. You just stay in constant agreement with that word. Amen. Oh, that it could bring forth what it said it would do. Amen. So we're going to go through a few of the lies that Satan told Eve as we begin to draw this down. He said the first lie was 95% truth when Satan told Eve in the Garden of Eden. 95% truth. Because the Lord had said, you shall die if you eat of that fruit. Thou shalt surely die. But here come the serpent and said, you shall not surely die. And Brother Branham said, it's like we come to church tonight. And it says they was up at the tabernacle at this certain night. The people gathered in, they sang hymns, the minister spoke, and then you know what? They passed the bottle around and all of them got drunk. He said, no, wrong. See, just the spirit fell down and they all got drunk. He said, it's just that much different. They did stagger, they did fall, they did cut up like that, but it wasn't a bottle that did it. It was the Holy Ghost confirming his word with signs following. And so that's how it is. He said, that's the way that unbeliever, the unidentified person with God. He said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe God is the Father of Jesus Christ. I believe all these other things. See, but when it comes down to this other part, that's for another day. There's the lie of it. That's right. He's trying to twist a little of the right word around to make it deceiving to the people. But what Jesus made the thing clear, he said, these signs shall confirm the message that I have sent. And that's what I love, that Jesus makes the thing clear. He is not the author of confusion. He's not the author of it. So if you come across something and they say, well, there's two Lords or there's all these other things, but no, the Bible says one Lord, one faith, one baptism. He made it clear in his word, but Satan will come in with a spirit of delusion and try to get you to receive some little thing that's a little bit odd, because that's what Eve did. She had little Eve lights. Her focus got wrong and she began to have God's way and another way. But you got to get your focus back right on the word, and focus that you could be looking through binoculars and you see two animals and then you take them down and there's only one animal out there. Something got wrong with your focus. But if you could ever get your focus back right on the word, there's one way. God's got a way that you can walk and you can see clearly what the word says about you. You got to get your focus right back to the truth, back to what the word says. And then you can persevere. And he told Eve, I'll make you wise. Your eyes will be opened. You'll know a lot more. And Eve gravitated to that. She wanted understanding. She wanted something that she could see more. She didn't know. She wanted to know. She didn't understand, but she wanted to understand. But a Christian is not to lean onto his own understanding. How can I understand any of these things? I cannot understand them. I believe them. I don't have to understand them. You don't have to understand them, but believe them. Believe them, and we've already received our light. Because here come Eve's interpreter and said, you shall not surely die. He said, I'll give you greater light. But any light that the devil has is darkness. It's a false light. You're seeking after something that's not, it's not true in God's word. You're seeking after a shadow somewhere. But there's already a light. Brother Branham said, to my precious dear brothers and sisters, to all of you, as a servant of God, I never said this before in the world, in this church, I never said, but as a prophet of the Lord, I say to you, this is the light. Walk ye in it. In the evening time it shall be light. And arise, shine, for thy light is come. He'll try to tell you that he didn't mean what he said. See how Satan whitewashed that word. He didn't mean what he said. Well, God said it, but he didn't mean it. And that same rotten lie is told by Satan to preachers and church members today, to say the word of God says so and so, but it don't mean that. Amen. But Paul said that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And so it's either all, it's got to be perfectly right or it isn't right at all. And Satan will try to do that to bring instability to your life, because if he can get you to disbelieve one word, then what's keeping the whole thing from being wrong? So it's either all right or it's all wrong. And I just believe it's all right enough to where I'll plant my family on it, because this Bible didn't come through the knowledge of man, but it came through holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. But Satan will try to destroy the influence of it, that you might not know if it's true or not, if it'll stay or not, if it'll keep you or not. Oh, but it's a kingdom which cannot be moved. And they'll say it doesn't make any difference. But Brother Branham said, does it make any difference whether it's this way or that way? Sure, it makes a difference. That's the very lie that Satan told Eve. It does make a difference. It said, you're standing. It said, it's like a chain hanging over hell. And a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. And so if you add a word or take away a word, it'll break that chain. And so the only way to keep that chain is to not add or take away any word from this Bible. Amen. Because it does make a difference. When Jesus was in the wilderness, Satan tempted him, and he came with the word. He said, is it not written? Is it not written that the angels will hold thee up? Is it not written? But Jesus could say, it is also written. You see, you had to have the whole word, because Satan used part of the word. You say, well, does it make a difference if the Bible says this, and if we do it just a little bit different? It does make a difference. It does make a difference, friends. It's holding that chain. It's your life is hanging on it. That every word of it is the truth. That you might overcome by the same word that Jesus overcome by. Amen. That you might come into battle with the devil and you might say, it is also written. Amen. Because Jesus overcame by the word, that you might overcome by the word. Do you believe that? He overcame by the word, because he could have called down angels from the sky. He could have done great things, but he overcame by the word to show that the weakest Christian could overcome by the same way.
And so it does make a difference whether you keep the word. Brother Branham preached a message as we close the oncoming storm. It was the text we read out of Matthew about the wise man and the foolish man. He said that storm will strike you sometime or other. It just depends on what kind of foundation that you have, whether your house will weather it or not. It's a coming storm which has got to strike every man and every woman that's born in the world. And when a storm comes that's got a lot of wind, the only thing that could turn that storm is a higher wind. And Brother Branham would say that the only wind that I know that can turn that storm will be the rushing wind that fell on the day of Pentecost. You see, it's going to happen. You might sometimes with weather predictions, you say, well, they're always predicting, is it actually going to happen? But with the coming of the Lord, it's written in the scripture. With the things that are coming, we know it's going to happen. It's not a question in our minds. You say, well, I've heard them say it for years, but we know it's going to happen. It's coming. It's a coming storm. And sometimes when storms come, they come so sudden, and we just seen it in these tornadoes a few days ago, that it comes so sudden, and if you're not prepared, then to get to safety, then it can destroy lives and destroy homes. And if it's not built upon it, just seeing pictures of this area the other day, that a lot of the houses were just fine, and all around them, mobile homes and things were just leveled. I mean, because if it's not built upon a solid foundation, it won't weather the storm. And if it's not built right, if its foundation isn't right, then it won't weather the storm. But it's got to be built on every word. Amen. And Jesus told Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It wasn't Peter. It wasn't the church. It was upon a rock of revelation that you could have a foundation to weather the storm. And he would say many lives have been saved because of preparation for storms. He said there has to be preparation before warning. There has to be a preparation made for safety, or there's no need to send a warning. But the warning is only a voice of one having you to prepare for the danger. The warning is only a voice, but God's made way for preparation. He's made a way that you could hear his word and believe on him and not perish and not come into the judgment, but have everlasting life and pass from death unto life on this earth. He's made a way to escape it. Like Noah could stand in the door of the ark and preach a message of God sending the rain. And God got so filled up with the sin in that day, but before he sent a storm to destroy the entire world, God made preparations for those who wanted to stay out of it. And Noah could stand in the door of that ark, and Noah could stand in that door, and it was the only way to safety. Moses could stand in front of the door, and they could have the blood applied over the doorpost, and that was the way to safety. But in this day, Brother Brandon said, today Jesus is the door to the sheepfold, and ministers of the gospel standing in that door, pleading with the congregations to come to safety. So in this hour, Brother Eric, it wouldn't do any good to go find the remains of Noah's ark and get in it, right? Because that's not the word for our day. And in this hour, it wouldn't do any good to just take the blood of a natural lamb and apply it, because that's not the word for our day. But God has provided a way that by one spirit you could be baptized into one body, that you could build yourself upon the foundation of this word and come to safety. He said in Lot's day, they refused it. They were asked to come out because judgment was upon the city and God was going to bring a storm of fire upon the city. And they refused to walk. They refused to come out. Like a man maybe that refuses to believe the sun is shining. Why would he do that? Why would you go in the basement and just say, there's no sun, the sun doesn't shine? He said, there'd have to be something mentally wrong with that man. He said, but what about a man that will reject Jesus Christ has the same grounds. He said, the Holy Spirit is more real than the sunshine. The sun will fail, but the Holy Spirit can't fail. It don't only light for the sense of sight, but it lights for the soul. And you can walk in the light of this word, and it'll bring warmth to you. He said, Brother Brandon said, oh, how comfortable it is to see the oncoming judgments and feel that comfort feeling of the Holy Spirit. Hear them talk of atomic bombs and just think, what has happened? A peace that passeth all understanding. Why the bomb won't no more go off out of that gun than we'll be in the presence of Jesus with eternal life. We old people back young again. The baby's up to an age. The musicians, please come. With no more death or sorrow. Oh, what a wonderful thing. You mean a man would refuse to come out and walk in that? There's something wrong with him. And then Brother Branham tells about this northerner storm. And there was a man one time who wanted to go north. And so he came to a pulp camp. I don't really know what that is, but Brother Branham talked about it, how they would get pulp from the trees. And he come and was trying to make a few extra dollars that could use a cook. So he started to help out a lady there. And then one day he began to hear a storm coming in. He said, it sounds like a bad twister coming. And he began to be afraid because he wasn't ready to go meet the Lord. And so fear began to come upon him. And he heard a storm coming in. There that lady was across the tent flap from him and would say, you know, come over to my side and I've got my lantern lit. And so he would go over there and she would say, are you ready to meet the Lord? And he wasn't ready. So she would tell him, well, you better make ready now because this storm's coming and it's coming in. And so he would try to pray and the lightning would flash and he would get distracted and he would try to pray and that was his chance and he survived it. He said, finally, I got these words out and said, Lord, if you'll just let me live, I'll find a place where it's more quieter and I'll come to you. And God allowed him that chance. Amen. God gave him another chance. Amen. But this is your chance. He said he got another chance, but you might not. When the judgments of God begin to pour out, there's no more chance. You've got your chance now. This is your chance. And so he came to Brother Branham. He said, Parson, is it possible for a man like me to be tucked away in that safety? That when death begins to come upon me, that I can enter up to talk to him like that old saint did. He said, son, the blood of Jesus Christ that made her that way can make you that way right now. He said, I was standing by my automobile. He was a well-dressed boy, cultured, educated. He fell on his knees in the muddy yard. And there he found that hiding place, that refuge in a time to storm that rock in a weary land. He said, you don't have to be weary as long as you're in the rock. The rock is one place that's not weary. The rock is the satisfying place. You're going to sit back and look out as safe as you can be, but you have to make your decision. You have to make your decision that whether you're going to be found in that place of refuge or outside of it, God's provided a place of refuge, but you've got to make preparation. Brother Brandon said, that's what's the matter in the true Easter seal. You're trying to jump up on top of the ladder when you ought to be on the bottom yet. See, get started down here. See, we're talking about being built on a sure foundation that we might weather the storm. He said, clean up and get started right, and then we could build upon that. Otherwise, you cannot build, because any foundation that's not built upon the principles of Christ will fall. In the Bible, it said it's an abomination for a woman to wear a garment pertains to a man. He said it hasn't changed one bit since God hasn't changed. He's eternal, and his thoughts yesterday is the same as they are today and will be forever. His spirit is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His works is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His redemption is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's no way of getting out of it. Now, the proof of the pudding is the eating thereof. We know that. Is that right? God said it was. So we could say there's a judgment coming. He said, but before that took place, there was a sealing. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of your redemption. He said even the animals would have the instinct to go out in the middle of a field when an earthquake was coming. God could love them enough to put an instinct in them. He said, if he made a way for a bird or a cow to escape the wrath of judgment, how much more has he made a way of escape for you and I, who are the offsprings of his creation? How much more has he made a way of escape for us? And he said, we feel the Holy Spirit tugging at our heart. The hour is coming. We see the shadows of the atomic age. We see the shadows of the hydrogen age. We see nations breaking, Israel awakening. He said, the storms are coming. But there's a hiding place. Oh, a blessed hiding place. It's in Christ. He said, have you ever found that blessed hiding place from the wrath? Remember, there's no two hiding places. There's just one. If your life isn't lining up with this word, if the Holy Spirit that you profess to have is not making you live like they did in the book of Acts, you see, the Holy Spirit will teach you different. It'll make you live like they did in the Bible. It'll put a life in you, this because it's the same Holy Spirit that they had. And he would say, we're looking awful close to the end time. He's preaching this in 1960 about Israel has come back to her homeland, the last sign that was given, and they come back to see the Messiah. And he said, you know, the fig tree putting forth its buds and flying their flag, and they've got their currency now, and they're looking for a Messiah. He said, there's the last sign. Jesus said, when you see the fig tree putting forth its buds, no, the time is nigh, even at the door. Israel beginning to be restored. They got their own money about 4 weeks ago. She has her own currency, everything. She's a full nation. what are they waiting for? Just the closing of the Gentiles. And we as Gentiles, we've seen our last sign, that Messiah sign. God could send us a message. And he could know even the thoughts and intents of the heart, like that one that could say, why is Sarah laughing in the tent? And God could come down more than a man, but there was a God on God. He's still here. He didn't leave when Brother Branham left. But we've seen our sign. He said, the next is judgment. And he said, Jesus said, when this comes to pass, the time is at hand. Done seeing it, it's passed over. The next is judgment. And we see what's going on in Israel right now. And in our hour, these things taking place, we see the world. If you're looking at the world, you can see the oncoming storm. But God's given us an ark. And by one spirit, we're all baptized into one body. He said, I want to be in safety. I want my sins under the blood. And I want to be sealed in the body of Christ so I can feel comfortably. Do you want to feel comfortably? I can enjoy the rays of healing, the rays of divine healing in my soul, physical healing in my body, walking with the Lamb each day safely. I mean, as we could bow our heads as we were finished and we're closed, and maybe we could just bow our heads. And this message is, Brother Branham would preach this message, the oncoming storm, and he would say it was meant in love and sweetness for the people that they might find rest. And he said, you know, he said this message tonight is a message of love, grace, and warning. He would say tomorrow night it may be in your ears somewhere else, a message of condemnation and judgment. But he said, while it has mercy in it, come and receive it, won't you, friends? And he said, you know, everything that can be shook will be shaken, but we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved, and that's Christ. And he would say in this, he would say, are you in that blessed hiding place, friends? God be merciful if you're not. And would like to be remembered tonight in prayer, would you raise your hand and say, Brother Branham, pray for me? And I'd like to do that tonight as well, that if there's one here that would like to raise their hand, maybe you don't know if you're in that shelter or you don't know it, if you're in that blessed hiding place, and you'd like to raise your hand to the Lord and say, Lord, look at my heart, Lord. Remember me. Lord, I want to know that I'm in that refuge. I want to have that peace, that comfortable feeling to know that no matter what the newspaper says, we've already read a newspaper. It's the Bible. And Lord, I want to know that my life is lining up with every word. I don't want to add or take away one word. Lord, I want to stand for this word. And I see the hands, and I know God does too. He says, do you know, as you keep your eyes closed, according to science, you can't raise your hands? If there wasn't a life in you, you couldn't do it. Science don't know what life is. They know it's life, but they don't know what it is. They can't make it. And what is it? Science says that your hands, gravitation holds your hands down the same as it holds your feet on the ground. But you've got a spirit in you. And that spirit, something has been near you. Jesus said, no man can come to me except my Father draws him first. And all the Father has given me will come to me. Aren't you happy tonight to know that God can deal with your heart, that there's a little voice there saying, come to safety, now watch. He that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. He said, what had to happen? You had to have something setting by you that told you you're wrong. He said, oh, you might belong to a church, but you're wrong. You haven't received the Holy Spirit yet. You're not in the ark. And then he says, and many tonight, Lord, yes, many has raised their hands. What more can I do, Lord, but tell them to believe? And if they believed and were sincere in that, it's impossible for them to not have eternal life at this hour. For you said, he that heareth my words, they were yours. They wasn't rightly put together, maybe, but you can put them together. And maybe you have to those who raise their hands, for you said, no man can come except I draw him. And all that comes, I'll not turn him out, but give him eternal life and raise him up at the last day. And he said, we know, Lord God, that's you. They raise their hands. They want you. Now, Father, fill their heart. Fill their heart with goodness and mercy, with the Holy Spirit. May this be a night that they'll never forget, because this is the night that they received Jesus Christ as their Savior and was filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, come, it's coming to judgment now. Won't you come? Come now. Your sins confessed now. You won't have to go to the judgment. As we pray, as the musicians, if they want to play something. Father, Lord, you see the hands that were raised tonight. And Father, I believe, as the prophet said, that if that was raised from a sincere heart, and Lord, if that was raised from a heart of faith, and Lord, then it was more than just an action. Lord, it was more than just emotion. But Lord, maybe while this word has gone forth, Lord, they decided I'm not going to give place to the devil any longer. But Lord, by your grace, you've given me an ability to hear that this word is true. And he that heareth and believeth, and Lord, that you've given us a promise, Lord, that if by one spirit we've been baptized into this body, then Lord, you provided a way that we will not come into the judgment, but we've already passed from death unto life. Father, I pray you search every heart, Lord, as we lay aside every weight, Father, Lord, and I pray with the brother, with the prophet as he prayed, Lord, that you would save every heart, Lord, that your blood that you shed, Lord, over 2,000 years ago has still got power to save. And Lord, that we can put our name in there, that you were wounded for Isaac Hatfield's transgressions. You were bruised for Isaac Hatfield's iniquities. The chastisement of Isaac Hatfield's peace was upon you. And with your stripes, Isaac Hatfield was healed. Lord, I put my name in there. And Lord, may each one put their name in there tonight, Father. Whether they have need of healing, salvation, Lord, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, may they put their name in there. And Lord, realize that this is an infallible word. And Lord, may they never leave it. Lord, if they have to keep confessing it like John Ryan did for days before they see the results. Lord, maybe they're seeing the results right now, Lord. You know, Father, but there's one thing is your word can't fail. You can't lie. And Lord, you gave us a way that we might overcome that father of lies. Lord, it looks dark. It looks hard. How could we keep every word? But Lord, you made a way. You sent back your spirit, that your spirit in us could agree with every word. Lord, you didn't ask us to do it in our own selves, but you sent us the spirit of truth. You sent us a comforter. And Lord, if there be one without that tonight, Lord, I pray you fill their lives with your spirit, Lord. Heal everybody. Bless this assembly, Lord. May it be an assembly that stands for this word. May it be an assembly, Lord, that Lord has life in it, Lord, that sinners would come in the back door and walk out saints. Walk out so full of the Holy Ghost. May it be a lighthouse, Lord, that you could use until you come and catch us away. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Brother Eric, if you'd come.
And purchase my salvation on Calvary's tree. Calvary's tree was a place, you know. Oh, yes, I love him. Oh, I love him because salvation on Calvary's tree. Do you know how much that he loves you? He sent this preacher here tonight. And you know, I believe in a rapture, and that rapture is to take us up higher. And I believe this message tonight kind of just raptured us just a little bit higher. And I'm thankful for those heights. I'm thankful I'm an eagle and not a buzzard. I thank God that I realize what's going on in this day. And you know what? If the world realized what was going on, they'd be here. They'd be here. But, you know, I was thinking he was talking about, like, Lot and things. And we knew what came to Sodom. It was fire. Fire came. But guess who he warned before the fire came? We've had a warning. We know what's coming. Do you know he's talking about Noah? It wouldn't be good to dig up the ark and get in it. But you know what? He gave Noah a covenant. God said, you got my word that I'm not coming back with water and destroying the earth again. But the next time I come. And look, you know what he did different with Lot? Think about it. He told Noah, he wouldn't destroy the earth again with water. But he didn't tell Lot that he wouldn't bring fire again. And he actually said he would. He said, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. So what are we expecting? We better get out of here before the fire comes. We better have a good foundations before the winds of the world starts blowing us over. You know, if the natural represents the spiritual, I was just thinking about him basically telling us we better clean up, straighten up, live the life of Christ. What would Jesus do if he was living this day? He would be living a holy life. He'd be shunning the wrong. He'd be doing the right. And see, that's where the way is made for us. But I was thinking, like you were talking about the tornadoes coming, and the ones that didn't have foundation, they were done with. But the ones that had a foundation like us, we got a foundation. But we need to keep building the house. You know, Jesus Christ, the foundation, but we're the house. We're where he dwells. But let's say an earthquake come, and it shook this building, and it just shook it loose. Why can't the Word of God come and shake this building and shake the world right off of it? It can do it. Amen. It can do that. But I was just thinking of when you was talking about Lot and Sodom, and here he gave that covenant of that rainbow, and here I was flipping through Facebook, and there I got a lot of high school friends on there, and there's this one fellow there. His name's Michael, and he was always the kindest, hardest kid. I think I was second or third grade all the way up through high school. He was always so nice and kind. Nice and kind don't get you to heaven, but it's good to be nice and kind, but it's good, but it's not eternal. And so this Michael, he'd do anything for anybody. Always treated me good, but he had a picture on there of him and his husband, and they had the rainbow. And the thing that said, we won't let hate win. We won't let hate win. No, if I'm thinking as a American and a human being, oh, yeah, forget the haters out there. He's a good guy, and they're nice, and they work good jobs, and they're, you know, no. Listen, we won't let hate win. Well, the Bible says their lifestyle is an abomination to God. An abomination is something that God hates. So hate is going to win over their lifestyle. And you know what? They don't realize it because they didn't have a man that could turn on the light. You know? So, oh, I tell you, I try my best. The people that I love, I try to show them the house of safety. I invited 5 people here tonight, and they all said they'd come. None of them came. And you know what? This wasn't for them. But they're somewhere. But I tell you what, this message changed me. Well, Mike came. I asked him. Yeah, my neighbor there. But you were the 6th one I asked. But it was the 5. I wrote their names down so I wouldn't forget them when they came. I could say, hey, God bless you for coming. But you know what? I wouldn't trade nothing for my journey now. Amen. It's here. I tell you. We're going to sing one song. I'm going to have Brother Nate come up. This is a fiery place right here. And this is the place to stand in front of, to hear. You know, preaching is the highest form of the way God speaks in this world. This is the highest that you'll hear. And if you got a man of God up here, you're going to hear the things of God. And if you don't, like he said, you'll lean toward other doctrines and things. But I don't want to lean. I want to stand tall. But there's a song. I'm going to read you the words to it first. I was thinking about it while he was talking about living the life. And this song, it's actually page 550 in that Only Believe book. But it's called It's the Life. And it goes like this. It's the life behind the name that makes the demons tremble. It's the life behind the name that makes the proud heart humble. And it was God who devised the plan that in all things like a man he would live so he could give us the life. Amen. Behind the name. How many of you want to just live a little higher life? How many want to really, I want to live way higher than I can, but I at least want to have a direction. I want to have a standard. You know, I don't want to walk out into the mall and them say, oh, he not even see me. I want them to see me and say, wow, he's different. I heard Brother Branham on a message not long ago. He was talking about him and his wife. They went out shopping all day at the malls. He didn't really like that. He said, I would sit, you know, and watch. That's when he saw the women coming up the elevator and said, scared him to death. He said, that's what I saw in hell, the Maybelline and all that on their eyes. And but his wife, he said, you know, my wife told me on the way home, we've been shopping all day. He goes, Bill, now here, this was 19 late 50s or early 60s. I thought all women wore dresses back then and all men dressed. That's just what I thought is the 50s and 60s. But she said, Bill, do you know we've been out shopping all day and we only seen one or two women wearing a dress? And I was like shocked because I thought, wow, that was a whole different era. I had a different thought and a different picture of that era, but it was to my own understanding because I wasn't there. But if I was there, I would know what he's preaching about. If you're here, you can see it. But it's a life behind the name. And so, and like I say, I, in the natural, I feel sorry for the ones that aren't going to make it, but I don't feel sorry enough to stay with them. I really don't. I really don't. And you know, I just can't believe, and, you know, leaning to my own understanding, I thought 3 or 4 or 5 years ago when I came here the first time sitting back there, I never dreamed that 3 or 4 years later I'd have a new family, or not a new family, I would meet more of my family. And that things would just, we could grow together. I don't like growing alone. I like growing together, you know, and just reaching them heights together. But if we can, do we know that song here? It's the life behind the name? All right. Let's bring that up again, and let's just sing that. And listen to the words, sing the words, and mean them. Yes.
Well, it's the life behind the name that makes the demons tremble. It's the life behind the name that makes the proud heart humble. It was God who devised the plan that in all things like a man he would live so he could give to us the life behind the name. It's the life behind the name that makes the demons tremble. It's the life behind the name that makes the proud heart humble. It was God who devised the plan.
And only as a lamb that he would live so he could give. Give us the life behind the name. Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
I'm glad you said your name in the message because I was trying to think, his name again? I appreciate it, brother. And I'm glad to, Brother Isaac. And I was glad to hear in Hatfield.
Yes.
See how you wrote that down? It's good to have you here, brother. It's good to hear you again. And, you know, there's one thing he said that he hit it and kept going. But I want to go back on it because he's talking about the cattle in the field. He hit it, but I knew the rest of the story of that, and he was going and kept going. But what he mentioned was that when before the earthquake, the cattle would move into the middle of the field. They had something in them. They had something in them that when they moved in, and you could see it in nature. Birds will take off flying, and leaves, when on a rainy day, they turn upside down. Do you know leaves do that? They turn, leaves will turn over, and you can tell in the fishing, and Doug's a fisherman, there's certain things that happen. Nature, they have something in them that automatically causes them to react to the time that they're living in. And if God would do that to a bird, a fish, a tree, a cow, how much more? Do you realize down in every age, they reacted for their nature, with their nature, for the day that they were living in. And they automatically did what they did because of who they were. And in the hour we're living in, we're better than those cows. We know the earthquake's coming. You know, what Brother Branham told us, California's going under. We already know that Russia's got bombs with United States name on it and Rome's name on it. We already know all these things. So what are we doing? We're moving right in the middle of the field. We're moving out from under the danger. We don't have to worry about God destroying the earth with us on it. We know that he's going to protect us from that destruction. And as this world is in birth pains, and they're getting ready to get it. We're getting ready, but we're getting ready to get it. We've already moved to the middle of the field. We're standing. The bride is standing in the middle of the field looking up, not saying, I know it's coming. And I wanted to finish that because a brother hit that, and I thought, oh, that y'all need to understand what he was saying about that. It's the very nature of the animal. And it's the very nature of the bride to move into safety. Like you said, you invited five or six, and one came. And the other five, like Jesus and the leopards, you know, he healed 10 and only one came back. There's only one of them that had something in them. And the ones that have something in them will be drawn to the word. Everybody else looks at us from the outside. It's like, oh, I don't need that. Oh, I don't have that or this. Oh, you don't need to worry about that. No, the bride will be right where she's supposed to be.
That's right.
So I am, and be comfortable there. We're good. We're good with it. Amen. Well, God bless you. Now, don't forget, we've been announcing we're coming May 5th. May 5th. Amen. We're going to close down Sunday morning service. And despite all the people out there that's on the internet that's going to be mad, we're not going to have service that day. And so we're going to Bluffton. So we've been announcing that. Now, don't forget, this weekend we're going to Kentucky. We're leaving here. Be here at 8:30. I don't even want you to know what time we're leaving. Just the only number I want you to have in your head is 8:30. So plan on leaving here at 8:30. Oh, for that Sunday morning. Well, I hope they don't even put the camera on me. I'll be looking at Brother Lawson. But, you know, it won't be long now. Some glad morning, we shall see Jesus in the air, coming after you and me. Oh, what joy to share. What rejoicing there will be when the saints shall rise, headed for that jubilee, yonder in the skies. It won't be long now. Amen. Come back on now. There's no Sunday morning service here. And no Sunday night service here this coming Sunday. I'll say that for the people on the air so they know not to try to figure out. The trouble is not in your set. We're not going to be doing anything here this weekend. Come back Wednesday, and we'll be back here at service again here. Those who are going to not be going to Kentucky, go somewhere. It'll be a good day to visit somebody. Don't stay home and say, well, church ain't there. No. You know, if you can't get a loaf, get a slice. Amen. Some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air. Coming after you and me, all the joys to share. What rejoicing there will be when the saints arrive. We'll be headed for that jubilee yonder in the sky. Yes, oh, what singing and oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior. When with all the heavenly hosts we begin to sing, singing in the Holy Ghost, how the heavens will ring.
just long. Heaven's Jews.